Abraham is God's chosen father of this nation of Israel. And because of that special position, God has decided he's going to share a little bit of extra information with him. And he has told Abraham that he is going down to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to judge them, to see what is happening there, and to give a verdict and give judgment. And now what's interesting is God doesn't actually tell Abraham, I will destroy these cities. But Abraham, he figures that out on his own. He's lived in this land for long enough. He knows those cities. He knows what's going on there, what those people do, who they worship, how they are to others, and who is really most important in their life. And Abraham already knows what God's verdict will be, that these cities will be destroyed. And so in this moment of realization, Abraham, he has compassion. He has compassion on these people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities surrounding them. And he asks God for mercy. He says a prayer for mercy. And what's important to realize is that Abraham is showing us intercessory prayer here. He's not praying for himself. He's not praying for his immediate family, but he's praying for others. He's praying on their behalf. And I think the most important note in this text is who Abraham is praying for. Because yes, he is praying for the righteous, but he is also praying for the wicked. He's praying for far more wicked people than righteous people as he says this prayer. And so this is our first point for today. We, like Abraham, are called to pray for our enemies. And now, don't get me wrong. Abraham is praying for his loved ones. He's got a nephew in the city of Sodom. He's praying for his family. He's also praying for any other people of God who may be found in these cities. But Abraham is also praying for the wicked. Because Abraham could have prayed to God. He could have said, let the righteous escape. He could have said, at least spare the righteous. But instead, he is asking that God not destroy these cities, that he not destroy everyone there. He's asking for the sake of the righteous, but he still is praying for everyone. He is praying for his enemies. And now you could make the argument that maybe these people aren't truly his enemies. Maybe they're just people of different faith, of different opinions, of different nationality. And yeah, they are. But if you read the next chapter, if you read Genesis chapter 19 and you see what these people were willing to do to God's angels when they visited, what they were willing to do to Abraham's nephew's family, you would see one thing pretty clearly. The people in this city, at least a large majority of them, are just evil. Just the kind of evil that we sometimes see on the news, that we sometimes see in our world, that doesn't really make sense to the normal person, where you're just working for Satan and his purposes. But yet, Abraham is still praying for them. He prayed for them anyway, as he is called to do. So think about that. How often do you pray for truly wicked people? I mean, who comes to mind when you think about truly wicked people? I'm sure you can think of some just from the news cycle we see every day. Do you find yourself praying for those people? Not praying that they be judged or be brought to justice, but praying that God have mercy upon them. It's kind of hard, isn't it? Okay, let's take it one step down. What about people who aren't really truly evil, but who are sinners and selfish like us and who have wronged you? Do you pray for those people? Do you pray that God has mercy upon them? And one step even further down, what about people who don't really have a connection with you, who have never personally wronged you, but are different than you, of a different race, of a different nationality, of different opinions, maybe on a different political spectrum? They're kind of your enemies, even though they've never done anything wrong to you specifically. Do you pray for those people? And in all of these cases, the answer is probably far too little. But yet God calls us to pray for our enemies, to pray for all people, not just ourselves and those in our inner circle. And it's not just something we pull from this text as Abraham prays for his enemies. But it's also a command from Jesus himself. We saw it in our gospel text today. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I'll be the first to admit, this is hard to do. But God asks us to do this for a reason. He has a purpose in asking us to pray for our enemies, to love those who even persecute us. And part of it's for us. Because here's the thing. It's really hard to hate someone who you're praying for. It's really hard to hold a grudge against someone who you are actively praying that God be merciful to. So the first part is for us, to get rid of that hatred in our heart, to get rid of that grudge, that festering wound that doesn't heal until we actually let ourselves forgive. Part of this process is for us. But part of it is it's not for us. It's for those other people. God has asked us to pray for our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, because he has the power to change hearts. How do we know this? Because he's already done it with us. He's already taken our sinful hearts and turned them back to him, turned them to his grace, turned them to his forgiveness. And if we really understand that, we understand that other people are just like us, sinners who need his grace, who need his mercy. If we truly understand that gift, we want to share it. And again, God is working on our hearts and in the hearts of other people around us. We need to realize that everyone needs his love and grace as much as we do. And this kind of brings us to our second point. Because the second thing we can draw from this prayer from Abraham is, how do we pray with the proper perspective? How do we pray understanding who we really are and who God really is? And to do this, I want to point you to a verse in our text today that preludes one of Abraham's petitions. And Abraham says this, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes." Now this should draw you back to our service on Ash Wednesday just a few days ago. And Abraham's mentioning dust and ashes. And on Ash Wednesday, we had those ashes put on our forehead, and we heard the words, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And really what Abraham's saying here has so much to do with our Ash Wednesday service. If you remember what those ashes symbolized, they symbolized a few things. First of all, that we're mortal, that one day we are going to die. And secondly, that we're sinful, that we have that stain of sin on our hearts and on our lives. And so what Abraham is saying as he approaches God, saying, "I who am but dust and ashes," is, "I who am but mortal and sinful am coming to you." See, what Abraham is doing here is praying from a place of humility. This is what we're called to do, to pray to God from a place of humility, from a place that understands that God is God and we are not. You know, if you really think about it, we probably shouldn't even get to pray. God doesn't owe us that right. He doesn't owe us the right to listen to us, to give us the ability to speak to him. He doesn't owe us the right to have our prayers answered. But he does it anyway. He does it anyway because he loves us. Prayer is a gift. And when we come from a humble place, we see it as a gift, as a privilege. We get to speak to our God. It is a gift just like his forgiveness is. Pure and perfect grace. And when we come before God with humility, we tend to have a greater trust in him, to have a greater trust in his will. And we stay away from some of the dangerous parts of prayer, like presumption, like assuming that I have earned the right for God to give me this. Sometimes we fall into that trap. Sometimes we find ourselves thinking, "I deserve this, and God should answer my whims and requests." But instead, when we come to him from a place of humility, we understand that God is God, and we're not, and he is going to answer our prayers according to his will. Now, as I say this, sometimes we can take this too far. And what I mean by that is this. Sometimes we confuse praying with humility with passive praying. Sometimes we neglect making the requests we need to make of God because we are trying to be humble. Can you think of times like that, where you become passive in an effort to be humble? Now, in our text today, as Abraham prays, he prays with humility. He prays with respect. He prays with reverence. But he also does something else. He prays boldly. And that is the third thing we can take out of this text. We are called to pray boldly. Look at Abraham's prayer. Look at his initial request and what that means. He was asking God to spare thousands of wicked people's judgment because of a few righteous people. That's what he was asking. It's a fairly bold request. And what does he say? He says, if 50 righteous are there, will you spare the city? And God says yes. And he goes to 45. And again, God says yes. And then 40 and 30 and 20, all the way down to 10. And God keeps saying yes. Each of these bold requests, God answers in an affirmative way. And every time I read this text, I wonder, could Abraham have gone farther? Could he have taken it to 5? Could he have taken it to 1? I don't know. Maybe. What we do know is that God answered his prayers. He answered his bold requests. And we, like Abraham, are called to pray boldly. And again, Jesus speaks to this issue on prayer. In Matthew chapter 7, he says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We pray boldly because God asks us to pray boldly. And again, we see this imagery of earthly parents and how earthly parents do their best to give their children what they want and what they need. Sometimes they say no because they know in their wisdom that this is not right for my child. But most of the time, our parents, they try to give us what we desire, to give us what we want. And he mentions who are evil. You see, earthly parents, they're sinful. They don't always make the best decisions, and sometimes they're selfish. And yet they still take care of their children. They still, for the most part, do what is best for them. And then we think about God, who is not selfish, who is not sinful, and does not make bad decisions. How much more is he able to give us what we actually need? Now, sometimes people misconstrue this verse, thinking it means you're going to get exactly what you ask for. It's not what it means. But what it does mean is that God is going to respond to our prayer requests, that he is going to respond to our bold prayer requests in ways that are in his best wisdom. Sometimes that's going to be exactly what we ask for. Sometimes it's going to be what we ask for in a way we didn't see coming. But he will respond. Ask and you will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. In this account of biblical prayer, we see Abraham praying for mercy. He prays humbly, he prays boldly, and he prays not only for his loved ones, but for all people. This too is how we are called to pray. In this account, it shouldn't just change your prayer life, but it should also inform your faith. Because when you pray for all people, you acknowledge that I'm a sinner, just like them, and we all need Jesus. You acknowledge that this gift I have been given so freely is not just for me, but it is for all people, a gift freely given. When you pray humbly, you trust God, you trust his will, you understand that he is God, that I'm not, and I'm going to offer my prayer to him and see what he does. And when you pray boldly, you acknowledge God's ultimate power. The power to change hearts, the power he has already used to change our hearts, the power he already used on that cross and rising again on Easter morning to wash us clean, to give us a place in heaven apart from death and the grave. So pray boldly. Pray with humility. Pray for all people. Our God, he answers prayers. He gives grace to those who don't deserve it. He gives grace to those who simply ask for it. So ask. Now, it wouldn't be fitting to end a sermon on prayer without lifting up our voices to God in heaven. So if you would, please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you today humbly, knowing our own sin and knowing that when it comes down to it, we don't deserve your love. Yet, we are thankful that you have provided us with your grace, grace that forgives us and redeems us, but grace that also allows us to boldly come before you in prayer. So we ask boldly that you have mercy upon our world, that you end war, heal affliction, and give daily bread to all people. But Lord, today we especially pray for our enemies, those who have hurt us, those who are simply evil, those who hate you, and those who we would simply normally neglect. We ask that you soften their hearts and the hearts of all people to receive your message of saving grace. And lastly, Lord, we ask that during this Lenten season that you enhance our prayer life, that by our prayers we and all people may be enriched in your grace and given peace, peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that may guard our hearts and minds unto eternal life. Amen. At this time, we continue our service with offering.
We bless and thank you, Lord, that you are ready and available to listen to your children, and that your mercies are new to us every morning. And in the same faith as our forefather in faith, Abraham, we seek your mercy for our own lives and also for the lives of others, even our enemies. To the end that in fellowship with you, O Lord, we live lives of contentment and generosity and gratitude. Lord, in your mercy, We bless and thank you, Lord, for this nation, the bounty of its natural resources, the fruits of the earth, and the gifts of our own labor and rest. Defend us, Lord, from pride, arrogance, and other enemies that would destroy us. And guide us to be a people of peace, respecting life from its natural beginning to its natural close. Lord, in your mercy. We bless and thank you, Lord, for our homes. May they become reflections of your own Son's loving sacrifice for us as we manifest in daily life the grace that has saved us. Lord, in your mercy. We bless and thank you, Lord, that you will not abandon us in our time of need. Grant to those afflicted in body or mind, the grieving, the dying, your gracious presence and grace to sustain them in faith and in hope, even as we name before you in our hearts those in need. Especially do we pray for Bill Davidson, hospitalized, and for Wilma and the whole Dearson family at the death of husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, Robert Dearson, whom you called to his eternal rest in Christ on Friday. Lord, in your mercy. We bless and thank you, Lord, for the holy gifts you have given and continue to set before us, our baptism, your word of law and gospel, and this table in our midst where you feed us the life-giving body and blood of Jesus Christ. Bring to completion all things, O Lord, especially that good work begun in each one of us, that nothing may separate us from your love given through the mercy and the merit of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. May the Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whose Spirit we are led to make ready our hearts, to renew our faith, and to prepare our lives for the Easter feast. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, ever praising you and singing,
Holy, Holy. Holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night on which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
O Jesus, remember us in your mercy for your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite our communion assistants to come forward. Please be seated for the celebration hymns. Alex, the body of Christ. Cheryl, the body of Jesus. Gary, the body of Christ. Susan, the body of Jesus. The body of Christ. May this eating and drinking of Christ's very body and blood, may it strengthen and keep us in true faith through life to life that is everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Post-service, Alex Walton is our elder present, and Pat Tillman is our Stephen minister present, and they'll be here in holy communication to pray with anybody who has need today.
Now receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you all with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Amen.